The Bible reveals to us in 1 Corinthians 2 a rather unique thing, and that is that there are three spirits in the world. 1 Corinthians 2. There are three spirits in the world. 1 Corinthians 2. Let's start in verse 11. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? We covered this a month ago, the spirit of man. The spirit of man gives us intellect. The spirit of man gives us the ability to think. The spirit of man gives us the ability to create. The spirit of man makes us who we are. It is not a separate thing from us. It works with our brain to give us a physical life. It's not a soul unto itself. But it's the spirit in man. We have a spirit in us. Even so, continuing in verse 11, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And we will cover this. We will cover the Spirit of God soon. We will cover the Spirit of God soon. God's Spirit gives us spiritual understanding, opens thoughts and ideas to us that are not comprehensible without His Spirit. When Jesus Christ was on the cross and He was being killed, murdered for all mankind, what did He say? He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And the world around us does not know what they do because they don't have God's Spirit. They don't understand spiritualism, the Spirit, that which is spiritual, not spiritism. That's a whole different topic. We'd be here a while. So we have the Spirit of man gives us intellect. We have the Spirit of God that gives us spiritual understanding. We'll cover that a little later. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. This is a third spirit. Spirit of the world. But the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The Holy Spirit is freely given to us. It's a gift. Says so in Acts 2. Says you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this gift opens Scripture to us. We can go to Matthew 28 where the disciples, before they had Spirit, Jesus Christ opened the Scriptures to them. And when we are given God's Spirit, it opens our minds to His Scripture to understand the things which this world desperately needs and wants to know. But what is the spirit of the world? Spirit of the world. The spirit of the world reflects the mind and attitude of the God, small g, of this world. Reflects the mind, attitude, and the nuance of the God, small g, of this world. When we look at the spirit in man, it helps to explain why man, left to his own devices without spiritual understanding, is not capable of solving his own problems. We learn that physical solutions cannot solve spiritual problems. Human relationships are based on spiritual principles, and humankind as a whole is not aware of this. And it doesn't matter to what political group, government, economic system, or religious affiliation a person belongs to, because none of them work. We've had 6,000 years of history to drive home the point that man without God cannot solve his own issues. If we were to look at this world today, what would be the identifier of this world? And clearly identify what is the spirit of this world. Let's go to Galatians 1, please. Galatians 1. Here we're looking to address the spirit of the world, to look at the identifiers of this world, the world that is around us. And it's going to begin to give you an idea of when I got another sermon coming. It's called The Worldview. How we should view the entirety of the world based on our calling. But for now, let's just talk about the spirit of the world. Well, verse 1. I don't know why I do that. It's a quirk I have. I'm going to go to verse 4, but let's start at 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia. Multiple churches are in Galatia, a number of them. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The identifier of the world around us is this present evil age. This present evil age. Why is this identifier, this evilness, identified with this present evil age? And by the way, I'm talking from the time of Jesus Christ all the way to today. It's just getting worse today. Why evil is in the world today? Where does it come from? Matthew 5. Bounce over there just a little bit. Got a few scriptures for you. You could write them down and do a study on that on yourself. Matthew 5, verse 37. There's a very simple statement here. Talking about swearing, and we're not to swear. And you don't swear by your head, and you don't swear by your hair, and you don't swear by your shoes or shoelaces, whatever. You don't swear. We don't swear. Let our truth come out. Your yea be yea and your nay be nay. 37, but let your yes be yes and your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Is from the evil one. It's interesting that the word evil, actually, if you look in your Bible, it just says evil. But it's in the Greek, it is a nominative case which gives it a title. So the evil is referring to the evil one or Satan, small s. And why would it be that whatever is more than this is from the evil one? Sometimes we try and justify. We try to explain. Sometimes we like to pass blame. We like to spin. We like to slant. We have righteousness in our own eyes, but, you know, God knows. And he says, just tell the truth. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. But the title here is, whatever is more than this is from the evil one. The evil one. John 17. Pop over a little bit. Go forward. John 17. Jesus Christ is praying for us. I'm always humbled by this statement here when we talk about John 17. He's praying. This is the true Lord's Prayer. He's praying to God just before his death. Verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. We're talking of the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world, if you have the spirit of the world, you don't believe in, you do not accept Jesus Christ or his message. 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Again, it's that nominative case where the word evil is a title talking about Satan, small s. Of course, I always enjoy verse 20. This is just a personal aside. He says, I do not pray for these alone. And he's talking about his disciples right then. But also for those who will believe in me through their word. Jesus the Christ, back at the time he was being crucified, just before he died, was praying for you and me. Praying for those who would believe in him through their word, through the disciples' word. Awesome. Awesome. See, Jesus Christ is pointing out that we have in this society is this present evil age, and that there is an evil one, and that we are to be kept from the evil one during this time when we are being called and we're growing in grace and knowledge. Satan is the liar and the father of lies. He doesn't know how to tell the truth. There is no truth in Satan. Yeah, John 8. Let me back up a few pages. John 8:44. And this will be important when I give you an example from the Old Testament in Chronicles. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of lies. I mean, it doesn't get any clearer than that. We are living in an age that is called the evil age, that there is an evil one, and that God wants us to be protected from, keep us from the evil one. Human beings do evil things. There are many people who have difficulty believing that there is evil in the world today. And yet, just read the news. I will not give you any examples. That is, one, too easy. Number two, it bothers me. I know there is evil in this world, and I understand that we need God's kingdom, and we need it desperately. Human beings do evil. They do evil things. Human beings can be evil, malevolent, malignant, and wicked. Satan is essentially and completely and personifies that which is evil. And it is his spirit, which is the spirit of the world. That influences all the evil in the world. Everything that takes place in the world that is evil is from him. Society doesn't believe in Satan. You know, one of the greatest deceptions that there is that he doesn't exist. Or if he does, he's some dipstick that doesn't know how to deal with true society. Or that there is an equal conflict between God and Satan. That's not true either. Society doesn't want to believe in Satan. And when they reduce Satan to nothing, then they don't want to believe in Jesus the Christ either. We understand the spirit of the world better than you think. And we don't give enough credit to the being that provides us the spirit of the world. Revelation 12:9. I've alluded to this a number of times, and I go back to it. We don't understand it. We'll explore a bit more today about this. But in Revelation 12:9, this is the foundation of the evil one. This is where he comes from. This is where its mind is. Revelation 12:9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the entire world. He was cast to earth, and his angels were cast out with him. When it says deceives the entire world, look it up. Means everything in society. Deception is everywhere in society. I've got a list. We'll go over it. Just not right now. But he's a deceiver. He's a liar, father of lies, and he deceives. Now just back up to 1 John 5. 1 John 5. So he deceives. He lies. We know that from the Garden of Eden. But in 1 John 5, verse 19, verse 18, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. He keeps himself, he protects himself, and doesn't allow the wicked one to touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We have the spirit in man, which gives humans intellect. We now have the spirit of the world, which is from the evil one, who lies to the world, deceives the world, and then holds sway over the world, has influence over the world. It's that three-sided coin again, like I mentioned last time I was here. There's Satan's way, there's our way, and there's God's way. Always look to that three-sided coin. Got to ask the question, how does God influence us? And or how does Satan, small s, influence us? Chronicles. Let's go to Chronicles 36. Chronicles 36. Page 410. Oh, which Chronicles? Second Chronicles. Yeah, let's just go to Chronicles. We'll cover the whole two books. No, 2 Chronicles 36. Here we just had the fall of Jerusalem. What's very interesting in verse 16, God was trying to work with Israel. He was trying to get them to repent. They wouldn't listen. And then it says, till there was no remedy. God has infinite, well, one would think infinite patience, but there comes a time when lessons must be learned. And enough was enough till there was no remedy. And then, therefore, he brought them against the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young, and he took them over, and they were taken away. Those who escaped the sword were taken away into slavery. What's very interesting here, you got a group of people who are slaves, and then 70 years later, something very curious happens. 22. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout his nation and also put it in writing, saying, thus says the king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me. And he has commanded me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judea. He acknowledged God and acknowledged a mandate. He felt compelled to build a house for God. He was influenced by God. God reaches in and helps us through emotions, helps us through his spirit, impacts us and sways us. You ever been driving along and feeling pretty good and someone cuts you off and all of a sudden you're angry and yelling at the guy? Where'd that come from? I mean, it's instant. Okay, for me it's instant. Well, I know where that comes from. It comes from the evil one. Do you ever have you're having a conversation and all of a sudden you need to reach out to someone and do something that you normally wouldn't have done to help out? With the right words, where did that come from? God's Spirit impacting you, influencing you. We know that God can intervene in the course of history through influences, and he can influence the outcomes. He stirred up the spirit of Cyrus so that the people of God could rebuild the house of God. And then, of course, the story continues in Ezra, but we won't go into that. I want to take you to 2 Chronicles 18. 2 Chronicles 18. It's very interesting here. Micaiah and Ahab and Jehoshaphat. There was things taking place here. And we're going to see the spirit of the world in action. Chapter 18, 2 Chronicles. Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance, and by marriage he had allied himself with Ahab. And after some years he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria. And Ahab killed a sheep and oxen, and they had a nice party. So Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go with me against Ramoth, Gilead? He said, and he answered him, I am as you are, and my people as your people. We will be with you in war. Yay, rah, rah. Now, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 individuals, and said to them, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain? So they said, go up, for God will deliver it into your hands. I mock. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here? He recognized that these weren't the Lord's prophets, that we may inquire of him. So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil. He is Micaiah, the son of... better glasses. The son of Imaiah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. Then the king of Israel called one of his officers and said, bring Micaiah, the son of Imaiah, quickly. I think that's Imaiah. The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, clothed in their robes, sat each on his throne, and they sat at a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. Now Zedekiah, the son of... Chenaiah had made horns of iron for himself, and he said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesy, say, go to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver you into the king's hands. I mock. Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. Therefore, please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement. Tell me what I want to hear. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever my God says, then I will speak. Listen. Then the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain? And he said, go and prosper, they shall be delivered into your hand. And he's mocking him. And the king knew it. The king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? He understood that this was a true prophet. Then he said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? He never says nice things about me. Then Micaiah said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. And this is very interesting. This is where I want to take you. So that gives you all the background of what was taking place. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab, king of Israel, to go up that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner. It's important to understand very clearly that messengers from God will tell the truth, only the truth. Verse 20, then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. The spirit of the world was in action. What was taking place here? The king wanted the truth, but wanted the truth his way. His prophets were telling him exactly what he wanted to hear. He heard the truth from the prophet of God and didn't like what he heard. And what the prophet then said was, there was a discussion. Who was going to tell the king to go to war so that he would fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And a lying spirit, God allowed a lying spirit to influence the false prophets. Now we know that they do go before God. You go to Job 1 and Job 2. the sons of God, the angels and demons, had to go before God and give an account for what they were doing. Oh, I've been going to and fro upon the face of the earth. And this creature went before God and said, I'll be a lying spirit. You know, that's the chronicle of this world. The chronicle of this world is that we live in lies. We are surrounded by lies. Put the thoughts implanted in the minds of the false prophets, and the king was influenced. And you'll read further that the king did die. This kind of interplay shows us and helps us understand what took place with Adam and Eve. The spirit of this world lies to us. The spirit of this world deceives us. The spirit of this world sways us. And we then end up with wrong choices. Adam and Eve rejected the tree of life and took of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. They weren't supposed to do that. And they were driven out of the Garden of Eden because they engaged in intellectual arrogance. Yeah, let's go there. 2 Corinthians 10. Intellectual arrogance. The moment we think we know better than God, that is engaging in intellectual arrogance. And we put ourselves above God. 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We are bound in a spiritual battle against Satan. And he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy me. He wants to destroy this work. He wants to destroy the plan of God. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not physical. We don't put on battlements. We don't carry shields and swords and helmets. They're not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That has been translated in commentaries as intellectual arrogance. I've run into individuals who look at the Bible and then puff themselves up and says, they know better. That's part of the spirit of this world. That's part of the spirit of this world. And that's what Adam and Eve engaged in. They listened to this snake. Of course, talking snake's kind of cool. And it told them truth. That tree is going to give you knowledge. And then it gave it lies. You won't die. Actually, it says dying, you won't die. There was lies involved and the swaying and the deceit. And they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Everybody, out of the pool. And they were kicked out. And the consequence, we now have the spirit of this world dominate and influence the world for the first 6,000 years of human existence. We end up with the spirit of this world engaging us on a daily basis. We can talk about the influence of that led to the flood. Genesis 6 talks about how great the wickedness of man was. So much so that God decided that let's almost start over. We'll just start over with just Noah and his family. I don't know how long it took. Methuselah died just before the flood. So maybe 1,000 years. Don't know. Who knows? The result of that influence led to the flood. How is Satan, small s, the governor of the spirit of this world, able to influence society and all its institutions? It's kind of like a radio transmitter or TV programming that goes out over the air. Right now, we're surrounded by various waves, TV waves and radio waves and other kind of waves. Nobody's going to surf but on these waves, but we're surrounded by signals. We could have a radio for each of us and have a different station right now in this room. And we listen at times to impulses and inputs from those signals. Now, God's spirit is like that. God's Spirit radiates out from God, goes throughout the whole universe, and inspires us, lifts us up, guides us. It's that still small voice on our shoulder when we take a wrong turn and goes, uh-uh, don't do that. Then there's that other broadcast that takes place that wants to influence the rest of the world and can happen instantly. I was driving Highway 5. It was 2 in the morning. I was coming back from Los Angeles. There was just me on the road, and I was in my daughter's sports car. She had an MX-6, Mazda MX-6, little sports car, little racing car, nice racing green. And it fit like a glove. And I'm tooling along at about 75. Again, 2 in the morning. A Corvette just blew past me at about 125. Maybe 130. In a fraction of a second, my foot was to the floor. I have no idea why. It was like a competition. All of a sudden, I had to catch him. And I found myself 115 going, this is insanity. One good bump and I'm airborne. And I backed off, back down to normal. I had no idea. Why did I do that? My foot just instantly went to the floor. 115, 110, I was comfortable. But 115, I don't want to do that. Where does it come from? All of a sudden, I felt I was in competition. Satan, small s, spirit of this world, is one that wants to give us the sense of competition. Wants to drive us into competition. Wants to drive us into anger. The other day, I do a lot of driving. And for whatever reason, these two cars, they could have been hitting each other with their cars. And over some sort of perceived slight or offense. Where does that come from? The spirit of this world is a spirit that wants to kill us. We know that God's Spirit is the Spirit of life, John 6:63. God's Spirit is the Spirit of life. Satan, small s, wants to transmit his spirit to the world and influence us so that we die. We die. I could ask the question, when we listen to music, what do we listen to? I find it very difficult to listen to rap music as a genre of music. It is uniquely American. And yet, for the most part, the language or the texts are very vile. The foundation of rap music tends to be antisocial, anti-government, anti-women, and vile. What station do we listen to? What radio station? What TV station? I've done enough traveling for my company, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I just want the news, and you hit the TV thing, and there's an adult section. And you have the choice of going from news or the world around you to the adult section. No station like that is fit for anyone. You can go to standard stations, and instead of the adult section, you go to standard TV, and then you find yourself watching programs that promote adultery, divorce, violence. The spirit of this world is everywhere. Ephesians 2. When we think about the spirit of this world, it permeates everything around us. It permeates everything around us. Ephesians 2, verse 1, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Jesus Christ died for us. He died so that our sins could be forgiven. But at one time, we were dead in our trespass, dead in our sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, once walked according to the spirit of this world, once walked according to the attitudes and the ideas and the logic of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. See, it's what's being broadcast and input and influenced in our minds. the Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. There was a time when all of us in this room were influenced by the spirit of this world. We were surrounded by the spirit of this world. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6, verse 12. I don't know why my foot hit the accelerator like that. I did feel competition. I felt the urge to catch him. My car had no reason to try and catch him. He was a vet. He was already doing 125. But this is where our fight is. And when we leave this room here, when we go into society, we need to remember this statement and what Jesus Christ meant when he said, forgive them, they don't know what they do. They don't know that they're being influenced by the spirit of this world. Finally, brethren, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this wicked age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Our battle is against one adversary. Not your neighbor. Not the guy driving and cutting you off. We have one adversary, and he is trying to stop us from being in God's kingdom. Satan would have us believe it's us against the world. But it's not. It's us against him. Mankind as a whole has been cut off from the transmission from God and has tuned into Satan's transmissions. And what they're receiving is not proper. God uses the analogy in the Bible to explain. Light versus darkness. The tree of life versus the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eyesight versus blindness. We have one adversary. And at times it's hidden from us because of the spirit of this world and its influence. Now, the spirit of this world influences all aspects of this world and all aspects of society. All we have to do is observe the fruit of this world's system. What did Jesus Christ say? It's by their fruits they shall know them. Matthew 7, 16. It'll be evidenced, the evidence of God's spirit or the evidence of Satan's spirit in the world. It's by the fruits. By the fruits. Where would we go? Galatians 5. Let's go to Galatians 5. And we'll come back here. Galatians 5. The fruits of the flesh. Or the works of the flesh. Verse 9. Notice that it says works, multiple. Because you won't do all of these. And if you did, you'd probably go insane. But now the works, multiple, of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. You can't see a TV program without adultery and fornication. Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you, beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This represents society. And the what I want to point out here is it says the works, multiple. You could do one or two or three. But, verse 22, the fruit. Notice that the fruit of the Spirit is inclusive of all what follows. The works of the flesh aren't inclusive. They don't happen all at once. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is the identifier. And that is love with joy, with peace, with long-suffering, with kindness, with goodness, with faithfulness, with gentleness, with self-control. Against such, there simply is no law. The fruits of the spirit of the flesh reflect the attitude of the spirit of this world. The fruits of the flesh, the works of the flesh, reflect the attitude of the evil one. The fruit of the Spirit, all-inclusive, God is all of these, reflect the attitude and approach and the essence and the nature of God. All in one. I want to take a quick overview of the institutions of society. What time I have got left? Just briefly, Satan has influenced the whole of human race. You know, we talked about how does Satan influence the world? Well, he has influenced the whole human race. The Bible does say that all men, this world in its entirety, except for those whom God has called, are deceived. They're listening to the wrong signal. They're listening to the wrong signal. Satan works on man's desires and nature and sways them toward lust, corruption, wrong thoughts, violence, and hatred. And what kind of world would we have when his influence is removed, when he is restrained? Of course, I refer to the millennium, a time of peace, the wonderful world tomorrow. Satan has influenced all nations. No nation has escaped his influence. You got to ask, why do we have all kinds of different governments? Communism, socialism, dictators, Republican, Democrats, Democratic republics. We have all kinds of governments. He has divided the nations into using different systems and approaches. And the more powerful the nation, the more they want to impose their will on other nations. You think the United States doesn't exert influence around the world, much to the disagreement of many nations around us? Mark Twain once said, he was making a joke of some politics. He says, "My country, right or wrong." My country, right or wrong. Now, he had a good feel for what the country was all about. Of course, he also called Congress, that grand old institution it'll come to me in the middle of the night, I'm sure. He had no regard for the Congress. He once said that if Congress needed to come up with, let there be light, you know, God said let there be light and there was light, he said Congress had that responsibility, we'd still be in the dark. Satan influences nation to go to war, to take, to get. Why? I had a wonderful taxi drive from Jerusalem to Tel Aviv. I was leaving back in 2008. And the cab driver said, "Why does everybody want this land? We have no minerals. We have no water. We have no resources. Why do they want this land?" And I almost told him, because Satan hates it. Satan hates Jerusalem with a passion. He hates Israel. Israel is surrounded by millions of Muslims. Israel is the size of New Jersey. What is the public opinion is that they've occupied someone's land. That's satanic influence. None of man's governments work, and none of man's government solves the problems of its citizens, because the issues are spiritual. The issues are spiritual. Isaiah 2 just simply tells us there, you know, prophetically, that there will be a time when all nations will come under God's government and that the world will be at peace. Satan influences the nation. Satan influences governments. Satan influences religions. Why is Christianity hated worldwide? Because basically, the devil hates anything to do with the Bible and or the name of Christ. Today, you cannot pray in public without being vilified. There was a wonderful meme. I still don't know what meme means. M-E-M-E. It's an internet word that describes photos. But why? The question was, why is this okay and this not? And one side is football players kneeling during the national anthem. And yet Tim Tebow got on one knee and was thanking God. And that's okay, but that's not okay. I mean, Tebow was vilified to the point where he was out of the NFL, the National Football League. We can't pray in public. We can't discuss the Bible in schools. And yet schools are supposed to be tolerant of all religions but Christianity. All faiths and religions are equal except Christianity. Many have forgotten that this country was founded on Christian values and principles. In the Muslim world, Christians are murdered and the world turns a blind eye to it. They're persecuted and ostracized in the Muslim world. And yet today you cannot say anything bad about the Muslims or the Muslim religion. They want and get special treatment. The devil uses religious confusion to divide people, start wars, and to impose the will of one group over another. Thankfully, the influence of God's Spirit will establish a one-world system administered by God for mankind, for the benefit of man. Satan holds sway over our economy. When we look at the economy of our world in the United States, we can see greed and avarice, the way it's been addressed. Socialism, share the wealth. If you have what I want and will allow the... If you have, I want it and will allow the government to take it from you to give it to me. Socialism. Right now there's socialist Democrats who are planning candidates for president in 2020. Socialist Democrats. They haven't looked at the news and where Venezuela, which is a completely socialist state, where they are. Venezuela, as socialism, failed. Before they fixed their money, in 2008, it took 10... Oh, I just put the B down. I forgot what it stands for. Venezuelan money took 10 whatever their units were for $1. In 2018, it was 50,000 of units for $1. And before they fixed their economy, 172,000 whatever they were for $1. I mean, they had hyperinflation. The money was now obsolete and they fixed that portion of it. But they have no food. They have no infrastructure. Socialism doesn't work. Some of the European governments have recently tried to impose a 75% tax on the rich. That was completely rejected by Italy. Capitalism. Oh, that's not the answer. Capitalism is not the answer. It promotes greed and avarice and competition, the few having so much over the many. Capitalism also helps us to forget that our blessings in this country come from God because we're to be a blessing to the rest of the world. When God's Spirit and the influence prevail and dominate the world will have prosperity beyond the imagination. Amos 9 says that the plowman will overtake the reaper. Every man will sit under a fig tree. I didn't know that was actually fun until I visited a friend up in Vacaville. He has this giant fig tree, and it's kind of hollowed out, and inside that hollow is a double bench. And we sat there. What an enjoyable thing. Didn't know. How about influencing our education, higher education today? I'm not sure I would send my kids to college today. They would be taught evolution. They would be taught liberalism. They're not being taught right values. God has been removed from the classroom. Isaiah 5:20 simply says they have gotten to the point where they call good evil and evil good. And they go hand in hand because you can't have one without the other. This is the state where our education system has come to. Satan influences our entertainment. I won't even go deep into this, but our movies, our TVs, our video games. You know, video game, what's it called? Grand Theft Auto. I think it was Grand Theft Auto. 100 million copies of this are now out. 100 million copies of Grand Theft Auto as a video game. Violence and sitcoms that are offbeat and crazy with crazy lives and conditions and families provide tremendous influence. You know, our entertainment has more influence than our churches. The media has, our entertainment has more influence than church. And if you bring up church, especially Christianity, you are laughed and mocked. Media and technology has more influence in the lives of people in the Western world than religion or family. But what about family? What about the spirit of the world and family? What would you do to destroy the family? What would you do to destroy the family? How about teach and preach that marriage comes with escape clauses? That there are exit strategies now when you get married? That there should be competition in the marriage? Satan hates family, hates marriage, and desires divorce. Changes the definition of what family is. Let's children have their way. The main goal of child rearing today, in too many cases, is just want them happy. I just want them to smile. No training. And we've ended up with a plethora of young people who make demands because they want to be happy. Now that they're adults, they just want to be happy. The influence of God's Spirit is just the opposite. And they apply all the works of the flesh in marriage and child rearing. You know, Isaiah 3 says that children would be our oppressors, and we're at that point. We have to ask ourselves, whose world are we living in today, God's or Satan's? All of the fruits and results demonstrate that it truly is this present evil world under the influence of the spirit of this world, under the influence of this world. Satan's ultimate purpose is to destroy mankind. To undermine God's plan of salvation and to wreak havoc on what God is striving to do. I'm going to throw you some quickies here before we conclude. He hates God's plan because one day we will be elevated over him in the kingdom of God. We will help to judge him and his demons. He tried to thwart God's plan in the Garden of Eden. He tried to thwart God's plan before the flood. He created false religions and governments and economic systems that developed into the Tower of Babel. Today we have the Tower of Babel. Think about it. No longer are we bound by languages or separated by languages. We have devices that you put in your ear and you carry in your hand and it'll translate 20 different languages and you understand what the person is saying. What happened at the Tower of Babel? Nothing will be restrained from man. We're heading toward that point again. We had that conversation this morning over breakfast. We're at the point where we're back at the Tower of Babel. He influenced Israel and they were driven into captivity. He hoped that they would be destroyed so that the plan of God would be undermined. Haman tried to have all the Jews destroyed so that the Messiah would not come, because without the promised Messiah, the plan of God would fail. He tried to have Jesus Christ directly killed. He tried to tempt Jesus Christ to sin. Down through the ages, he has divided the church and introduced all kinds of pagan trappings, raised up false churches, inspired many counterfeit religions and counterfeit gods. When he says, there is Jesus Christ, It's not that Jesus Christ is there. He's pointing to a false Christ. We need to know who Jesus Christ is. Churches have been split and divided. Even ours. Nobody's immune. And he does attack the church directly. How do we deal with the spirit of the world? How do we deal with and identify and recognize the spirit of this world? I'm going to take you right back to Galatians 5. God has given us a key. God has given us a key. I'm just going to dwell on Galatians 5, verse 22. Because when we are dealing with economics, when we are dealing with family, when we're dealing with entertainment, when we're dealing with child rearing, when we're dealing with relationships, when we're dealing with our neighbors, this is where we should come and just say, how does what's taking place compare? The fruit of the Spirit is love, is what's taking place in the exchange or in the interchange or whatever is taking place. Is it based on love? Is it based on joy? Is it based on peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Against such there simply is no law. Because this is the essence of God. This is the nature of God. And when we compare whatever is taking place to these identifiers, we will identify whether it's from God or the spirit of the world. This is the key that God has given to us. There is a spirit in the world, and we are living in an evil age. And God has given us a key by which we can identify. Are we being influenced by? Are we being lied to? Are we being deceived by the spirit of this world? By the evil one, by the father of lies. And we can look to the fruit of the Spirit as being the key by which we can compare everything. There is a spirit in man that gives us intellect. There is a spirit of the world that would separate us from God. Next time, we'll talk about the spirit of God.